This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
All right, Zane, thanks so much for joining us today at Harvard in Tech. We are very excited to have you. This has been a highly anticipated conversation about the real estate tech market and what's changing in real estate for our guests that will be joining us in this webinar and conversation. Zane is both an investor and an entrepreneur who started his first company at the age of 14. He's the owner of Zane Ventures, which invests across a variety of asset classes, including startups, real estate, stocks, fixed income, hedge funds, and private equity. Zane also runs a foundation, which leverages the power of video marketing to raise awareness for some of humanity's greatest problems. And I'm sure he'll talk a little bit more about that during this conversation today. Like I said before, he started his first company at the age of 14 and sold his last company, Bungle, to Blackstone for $780 million in late 2019. So a very highly accomplished investor and entrepreneur. We're very excited to have you today, Zane. And yeah, welcome to Harvard in Tech's webinar/podcast.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Awesome. So just to jump in here, maybe you could just start by telling us about, Zane Ventures and your focus on real estate and what you're seeing, why you're deciding to focus on real estate in the prop tech market.
Sure. So Zane Ventures is my investment firm, and it's basically my single family office. And I'm sure your listeners will appreciate this, but when you run a startup, it's terrifying because your entire net worth is tied up in one illiquid stock. And one day you think, one day you think you're going to take over the world. And next day you're worried you're going to go, to zero and all this was for nothing. And so when I saw other people making money at the same time and they were in real estate, I was so envious because I'm running a startup and I'm not even taking a paycheck. And here's other people buying real estate. Seems like all they have to do is buy it, hold it, and the real estate appreciates, and they also get income coming in the form of all these profits from rents. And so I thought to myself, damn, I want to be doing that one day. It feels good to be able to sleep at night. So when I had my big exit after the $780 million acquisition, I decided to start diversifying and investing. And that's when I started to, really focus on real estate. And I did it through many ways. First, I started off as an LP in a bunch of funds. So I invested in many real estate funds from Blackstone, RXR. I did opportunity zone projects. I did hard money lending. I tried to do some, financing of properties, be the first position as a mortgage, and realized, wow, these guys are making so much money and I'm just making fixed income on debt. I actually want to go into the actual real estate side now. So I became a JV partner in a couple of projects and then eventually started to buy my own assets and bought about 5 buildings in Texas. And then as COVID hit, I was an LP in a fund called Bluefield Capital. And the Bluefield guys were telling me, it's way too risky to be buying real estate right now. We're actually trying to sell our portfolio. And this is just before COVID, right? They managed to sell about $500 million of their portfolio. And COVID hit. And I was like, wow, they timed it so perfectly. So when COVID hit, some of my real estate started to suffer. I was having a hard time collecting rents. Teamed up with Bluefield and had them, partner with me. And we decided, I'm going to also team up with Bluefield, join their fund, and do a lot of my real estate investing with them. So now I do all my real estate investing with Bluefield. So Zane Ventures is, a big LP in Bluefield Capital. And we also set up a venture fund. I'm a tech guy, so I can't help but cause trouble being in real estate and seeing all the opportunities.
That sounds awesome. And so with this partnership with Bluefield, my understanding is that you all have made around 3 investments so far. So where in the along the prop tech space has that been in?
Yeah, so just to clarify, Bluefield has, is quite established. Most of what they do is they buy real estate, and we've just set up a brand new venture capital fund.
Got it.
Just for context on Bluefield, We have about 4,500 multifamily apartments throughout the US. We have senior care homes. We own hotels like Marriott's and Hilton's. We've been building a lot of industrial space, which is a huge theme. And we're building about almost 10 million square feet of industrial space right now. And with all of that, I decided let's launch a venture capital fund. You know, when you're an established entrepreneur, a lot of startups come to you and they're like, hey, can you be an advisor? You know, we'll give you a board position. You know, we'll give you lots of equity. We just want to get your advice from time to time. And I thought, you know what? Better I actually turn this into a process and set up a fund to invest in. So, yeah, we've made three investments. We're about to close on one or two more. And they range through the whole spectrum of, you know, prop tech.
Got it. And if you could just give me an idea, I mean, and for the sake of our listeners, you know, prop tech is based or has so many different subsegments, where, you know, I'll let you elaborate on some of them, but, you know, you could be anywhere from co-living spaces to, software for the real estate industry and, you know, contact construction technology, in that space. There are definitely a number of other segments. Where do you and Bluefield, where are you all laying your hat and what you see are the where the opportunities exist?
Yeah, so you know, real estate is the world's largest asset class. And anytime you talk to an institutional investor, there isn't much differentiation. When you ask a private equity or institutional investor, how do you guys win in the real estate game? You hear the same nonsense. You hear people say, well, you know, we have vendor relationships. You know, we're friends with a broker who gets us access to off-market deals. And, you know, we've done a few deals, and so people come to us when they're about to sell a property. We have access to debt. You know, we create really nice spreadsheets with crazy assumptions. Really, there's no differentiation. And all of these assets, relationships, and, you know, intuition, it's not sustainable. Blackstone will crush you every time. So when I looked at the whole spectrum of, you know, how a real estate fund operates, I realized there's so many opportunities from how you identify potential real estate to buy. How do you analyze a deal beyond a spreadsheet? Can you pull in data from other sources? And then when it comes to deciding what you do with the real estate, which I would say is alternative use of land, what do you do? Do you knock that building down? Do you renovate it? Do you put an industrial warehouse? Do you build a co-living space? Do you build a parking lot? How do you decide what to do? Often it's just the intuition of the chief investment officer.
Right.
And that just is crazy to me because I came from a very tech background, right? And so that's one theme. And then ultimately, how do you manage and operate the real estate? So in that case, it might be things like, you know, bringing amenities or finding ways to really smoothly operate the real estate in the way property management works. And then ultimately, you know, how do you extract more revenue, improve the net operating income, and potentially sell or refinance? So that's where I'm focused because it makes sense given that, you know, Bluefield is an institutional investor, has invested in well over $1.5 billion of real estate in just like since 2014 when they started. And I was amazed when I joined them, I was amazed that they've built this great business with really high returns on the back of spreadsheets. And so, you know, being a tech guy, I initially thought, let me go hire a tech team, right? Because that's what I like to do. Let me go hire some engineers. Let's go bring in, you know, great talent so that we can automate what we do. And I realized at that point, it's probably better just to partner with startups. And when we started talking to startups who could help us with, you know, how we operate, they're way more motivated, right? When you've got a founder who wants product market fit, they will work endlessly, and they know that if they do well, they'll have a great case study and, you know, they'll have the start of, you know, product market fit. Whereas if you're trying to hire an engineer from a different industry and you're trying to motivate them and you're trying to pay them on a salary, you know, the progress isn't likely to be as you know, as much as you'd like. Especially with our portfolio, it's so diverse. It's so geographically spread out across the U.S., and so, yeah, we started partnering with focused startups, and that's when we realized, wait, we can become a major customer for them. And we can add a lot of value. In some cases, you know, we can open up our portfolio and we can open up our network of other real estate owners. So we should take an equity stake. And that's sort of how the genesis of the venture fund started. And so That's sort of the themes around how we make our investments. I'm happy to dive into three investments if you'd like to.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like it's almost like a verticalization model where right. you have economies of scale by bringing in or taking an equity stake in these startups, and then having a $1.5 billion investment portfolio, you can pretty easily implement those technologies to see what works and what doesn't. I'd love to jump into those different investments, but before that, just, you know, I think that it's good to set a tone for understanding, you know, where are the pain points that exist within the real estate industry that you've seen. Definitely the VC land has, industry, has invested in real estate tech companies in the past. It's gone through sort of a cycle before the likes of Zillow and Redfin taking off. And there was a little bit of bust in the real estate tech focused market. And so with the sort of proliferation of mobile, the proliferation of or coming out of the recession, where there are a number of different transactions happening or people investing in real estate, Zillow really took off. And then obviously you have the Airbnbs of the world and then WeWorks as well. There are a lot of different subsegments of business models there that were solving pain points. So that being said, you know, what pain points do you feel like need to be solved for real estate, you know, small players to large players today that aren't just nice to haves, but are absolute need to haves in either this environment in COVID or beyond?
I mean, there's so much opportunity. I could have started another company. Every entrepreneur has an itch to start another company. And when I analyzed the space, I saw so many opportunities. In my last company, which was in the marketing field, I identified maybe three or four areas you could build a great company in. And being an entrepreneur, you have to throw stuff against a wall, and wherever it sticks, you have to build a company around. And in our category, which was very narrow, right? It was in-app video. Out of all the marketing technology areas we could focus on, we decided to do a video advertising platform for mobile apps with video. Very, very focused. And we built a business that was almost worth $1 billion. And you know what? Three or four of our largest competitors were also worth so much. And the other three or four areas I identified outside of my area also did well. So sometimes I'd wonder, if I'd picked another area, would I have built a bigger company? I mean, I can't complain. You know, it was a great outcome. When I looked at prop tech and real estate, there were like 20 different areas. I thought to myself, wow, you know, the best way to play this isn't to just be a prop tech entrepreneur. And if you are a prop tech entrepreneur, that's amazing because you can build, the market size is way larger than, you know, the market size I targeted, and I had a pretty good outcome. But yeah, I saw so many different areas. And so, you know, you can go back to the problems I outlined for, you know, I had to focus. So even with our focus, we're focusing a lot more on how prop tech benefits institutional real estate investors. Because ultimately, you can either live in real estate or you can look at real estate as an asset class. And I like the idea of looking at it as an asset class because it's very rational. It's very B2B focused. A lot of the startups we sell to are going to be B2B focused or work with, rather. You know, they create SaaS products, or some of these are tech-enabled services or tools or platforms. A lot less marketplace activity. There is some hardware and IoT as well that, you know, we're looking at and we're excited by. Ultimately, the core of it is this, okay? How do you unlock more NOI, which is net operating income? If you can operate real estate more efficiently, you're gonna be able to extract huge profits and make investors a lot of money. Right now, there's very little differentiation between real estate owners and operators. You know, even you look at the level of algorithmic trading going on in hedge funds and you compare that to real estate, there's hardly any. This industry in real estate seems to be ancient and so far behind. And the holy grail is, if you can buy any building, right, even be very specific, whether it's retail or whether it's a single family residence or a vacation rental, if you can just crack one of these asset classes and you prove the model works, you can go and replicate that at a far larger scale. And you know what's great? Look around you, open the window, you just see buildings everywhere. And if you can make an asset operate well in downtown San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York or even in Montana or Utah, hell, you could do it anywhere. You know, you could take this company global. You could go to India. You could go to emerging markets like Africa or Brazil. So that's what's really exciting here is if you can figure out how to make real estate operate more efficiently, boom. And for us, because Bluefield is a private equity firm, we're buying real estate. I don't just want to buy real estate like everyone else. Anytime we come in and we want to buy real estate, I want to have a toolkit. I want to firstly make sure that I've got access to deals other people don't, ideally through tech. And when we analyze a deal, when we underwrite a deal, I want to have technology being used there, which is, you know, more superior than spreadsheets and can fine tune assumptions carefully. And then ultimately, how do I operate that real estate? What amenities am I going to bring in? What tech startups are we going to bring in? If you think of me as having a tool set of different products, if each product I implement can improve my NOI, it can either cut costs or improve revenues, boom, you know, we're able to bid more for that property. And because of real estate and the fact that there's a lot of leverage involved, the cash on cash returns, the yields can be great. So that's really my focus. And I've seen, you know, thousands of startups. I've you know, probably since doing this, I've talked to 200 startups myself. And we've been very selective in the startups we've invested in. But in each case, we felt like this is a company that can generate a venture style return and ultimately change prop tech and real estate.